Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And howdy, folks. It has been a long time since we've been on the air. Mediocrity, your freshest smelling, most entertaining, and, well, not most entertaining, mediocre podcast is back. We've been gone for a few weeks. Tons of things has happened. We have a great show today. We're going to talk about tons of things, reboots, video games, comic books, movies, and recasting Kindergarten Cop with a few rules on that. I'm Brian Kluger. I am so happy to be here doing Mediocrity with you guys. Again, I am joined by Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Maggart. Jonathan Atterbury, how are you, my lovely little darling? You do not have a mustache anymore. That mustache has grown into a full face of hair.
It just crept outwards, and I just let it happen. So it's pretty good.
So you're happy with the fully facial hair thing? We're eating three beards right now.
Have three beards, and you know what? I got to say, the reason that I have a beard right now is purely because of Jeremy Maggart.
Oh, well, speaking of Jeremy Maggart,
which is ironic because the reason Jeremy has a beard is because of me.
Well, speaking of Jeremy Maggart, how is you, Jeremy? How's the new abode going? And does anything John have to say about the beard true?
The house is fantastic. We're loving it. And, yes, John is correct.
So tell me a little backstory about this. Like, one of you had a beard and the other one had to have a beard and the other one got rid of the beard and there's just beards everywhere. What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you part of the story. I had never grown a beard before, and John and I were living together and we were approaching, what was going to be No Shave November. And I think it was late September, maybe early October, and John and I were talking about it, and I was like, I've never done it, and he was like, oh, you should do it, and I was like, okay, I will, and so I did not shave from, like, the end of September, I think, until probably halfway through December, and even then, I just trimmed the beard, and that was 7 years ago,
So you haven't shaved in 7 years?
Since then. I have not been completely shaven since that moment.
Does the downstairs beard and the upstairs beard look the same?
It's exactly the same. How on the lower part, it's really full, but on the top, it's really thin.
Hey, it's a warrior's mane.
I'm just glad Atterbury answered that for you.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. It's the Gungan look. Jonathan, so go ahead.
I don't think any Gungans have beards, dude.
No?
You should probably watch Star Wars before you make jokes.
Now, one of them does have a Fu Manchu, though. I've seen a few Gungans with a Fu Manchu.
There you go.
Is it facial hair, though, or is it just skin?
I think it's something that's made to look like a mustache. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good. I'm glad we all have beards, though. I've recently trimmed mine.
Now we'll let John tell why he grew his beard back out.
Okay. Why'd you grow
your beard? Well, so you remember that picture that Jeremy sent us both of me lined up next to that guy from that TV show?
That guy from that TV show is Todd from The Last Man on Earth.
Oh, I'm so excited that happened.
So if anybody wants to look up, a quick Google of Todd, Last Man on Earth, will yield a picture of this guy. And Jeremy sent a picture of me lined up right next to that guy. And it was just enough to make me never want to have a mustache again.
Oh my gosh! So I gotta I want to stand up and applaud Jeremy right now because he is kind of like the joke master right now. Like seriously, the dude. It's not just in the theme song. Jeremy Maggart's got jokes. This joke fucking went so far is that Jonathan Atterbury changed his physical look after it. It's just so damn good.
I couldn't get it out of my head. I was like laying in bed awake at night, just stuck on that image. And I had to, I couldn't do it anymore.
I like to play the long game. I was sitting on that for like a month and a half, if not longer.
It was a fucking insidious move is what that was.
So good. I'm so happy that ate away at you for that for a few days. You're like, nope, I'm not going to mustache anymore.
I mean, he's a funny guy. I mean, you know, Todd's funny.
That was so good. Oh, fantastic. Well, we all have beards, and I'm glad that that happened because I totally forgot about that. It's so good. All right. Let's start off with a recent trailer that I hope we all watch that came out today, Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer. That movie is coming out very soon. As a matter of fact, it is coming out July 6th. So July 4th weekend-ish, July 6th of this year. It is directed by Peyton Reed, who directed the last Ant-Man movie. And it stars, of course, Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Pena, Walton Goggins, Bobby Cannavale, Judy Greer, and Michelle Pfeiffer, Lawrence Fishburne, Michael Douglas. It is the sequel to Ant-Man, part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Ant-Man and the Wasp, July 6th. Guys, girls, people, what did you think about this trailer? Does it look good? Does it look terrible? Silly? What?
My initial reaction was, I'm sure the movie will be great, but the trailer was nothing new. The trailer I didn't find to be, like, terribly exciting. But I'm sure the movie will be fantastic. I loved the last one, but it was just kind of... I got to admit that lately, a lot of the Marvel trailers have just kind of... They just feel like the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And they don't really do anything for me, excitement-wise. But I guess that's true for most movie trailers lately. There really haven't been any trailers that have blown my mind.
Okay. Jeremy?
I dug the trailer. I thought it was super fun. You know, they gave us a little bit of what's going on. Honestly, for me, the less plot I get in any of these trailers, the better. Because I'm going to watch them here and there, but for the most part, I want to go into it not really knowing what's going on. You know, they showed us a couple small things. You know, like the truck changing size and flipping over. You know, they gave us a little bit of the Wasp stuff, which a lot of people were wanting to see, myself included. So yeah, I was down for the trailer. You know, I wasn't like, it, you know, it's not going to get me as excited as like a Last Jedi trailer did, or, you know, seeing a trailer for Avengers, just because we're getting stuff we've never seen before, but still fun.
Cool. A couple moments in the trailer. I mean, I kind of go with, I guess, a little bit of both of you on that. Like, yeah, it was fun, but seen it all before. I thought it was cool when Michael Douglas, you know, clicked his car alarm thing and the whole building sunk down to like a suitcase size. That was pretty cool. And so the scene in the film where they're going fast down the road and this Pez dispenser blows up to big size and it's like Hello Kitty. I wonder if it's still going to be Hello Kitty when that comes out, or if it's going to be like a Marvel superhero of some sort, like a Hulk or Iron Man come blasting towards us, or if it will just be Hello Kitty. Hopefully not. I'm trying to think of what else I like in the trailer. There's a scene. It looks like
Do you want it to be Hello Kitty or not to be Hello Kitty?
No, I don't want it to be Hello Kitty. I wonder if they're just saving kind of like a funny inside joke of a Marvel superhero or something else funny that they don't want to show in the trailer. So they just kind of put a,
It seems like an expensive decoy there, because I'm sure they had to buy the rights to Hello Kitty to use in that image, right?
I have no idea, but I mean,
yeah, they would have to pay to license Hello Kitty in order to do that.
which is weird because I wonder if that goes in with the film, because they could have just easily put out an Avengers one, like an Iron Man one, which would have been really funny, or an X-Men. I don't know. Or a Disney one. A Disney one would have been funny, too. But I don't know if Hello Kitty is Disney now. I don't know. And it looks like there's a big fight scene in a kitchen, which totally reminded me of the awesome kitchen fight scene in The Raid 2, about like kind of how the background is like an all-white kitchen with lots of silver and knives throwing. It won't be as cool as Raid 2, but it looks pretty cool. It looks more of the same. I'm definitely going to see it. I like Paul Rudd a lot. I'm glad he's in this. Is there anything else about the trailer that really got you? Or just kind of a teaser? We didn't see much. Yeah. Or much.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah.
You're sure it will be great.
I am sure as well.
You are sure as well.
Yep.
I guess that's about it for that trailer. I am very excited to see that coming out, for sure. Moving on, let's talk about what we've been watching on Netflix for the past few weeks. Anybody have any new shows or new movies they want to talk about real quick to let our wonderful listeners in on something they should watch?
I think John and I have both been watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes, so if you haven't seen Comedians in Cars and Coffee, this is an old show from the past several years that was only on the internet. It was a web series. Luckily, Netflix bought it and have put on all of the episodes, which range from like 10 minutes to 22 minutes long, and then they put out new episodes as well. And it is Jerry Seinfeld picking like the people he most admires comedian-wise. And he picks them up in a different car, and they go to a different place for coffee, and they talk about comedy. It is excellent. Excellent, excellent. What do y'all like about it?
I just love the way Seinfeld's mind works. This is what I was telling Jeremy, is that he's such an interesting thinker. And I love – one of the things I really love about Seinfeld is that he seems to not let people kind of – he doesn't seem to care much about what expectations are. And like, if it's one of those scenarios where somebody might expect him to act a certain way, if that's not necessarily what he wants to do, he's probably not going to do that. And I really admire and love that about him, because it's hilarious to watch too.
No, for sure. He is super funny, and he's a comedic genius. But I like just like the random people, not random, but like all these amazing people he has on. And he kind of coincides the cars, I guess, with the person. So like,
yeah, I think he tries to pick the car that fits what he thinks the person's personality is like, or something like that.
Right. And a good example of that is Patton Oswalt, who's known to be a nerdy comedian, and Seinfeld picks him up in the DeLorean. And what's great about that episode is like they get in the DeLorean to drive it to coffee, but like literally 200 feet later, the DeLorean dies and they have to Uber somewhere, because it's definitely known that DeLoreans notoriously broke down and were terrible cars. But, you know, something like that. But there's been so many good episodes. Which episodes, Jeremy, have you enjoyed the most?
Oh, man. I've kind of been cherry-picking and going through. The Alec Baldwin one was really good. That was one of my favorites. I recently watched the Norm Macdonald one.
That was so good.
And I thought that was great.
Excellent.
And my favorite part of it was when Norm goes, if there's a comedian and you don't like his act, could you be friends with him? And it actually got him to pause before Jerry answered no.
Yeah. No, it's so true.
I love that Norm Macdonald, as Jerry pointed out, was just a fountain of archaic phrases.
Yes.
At one point he goes, man, that's hotter than a $2 pistol. And I have never heard anyone say that in my life. And I think that was fantastic.
Oh, Norm Macdonald's always cracked me up in everything he's ever done, and it's so good on every level. Yeah, that was a great one.
And it also made me laugh, because every time Norm got in and out of the tiny car, he made these like really good sounds, like of exertion.
Yeah,
and it just made me laugh, because I feel like I've heard Jeremy make the same sounds when he's gotten in and out of cars before.
Like,
exactly.
I don't know what Jeremy's thing is, but I do know Norm is a pretty big dude, and Seinfeld did bring like a really small compact car for him.
It was a tiny car. Yeah. It was so small.
It was so good. So,
but it was just funny because it was so over the top. It was like, ha!
That is funny. So yeah, I like that one. The Steve Harvey one is surprisingly excellent. Lots of good stuff there. The Steve Martin one's good.
Dude, I loved the Christoph Waltz episode.
Which is weird because Christoph Waltz is not a comedian.
But he's so funny in such a weird way.
Yes, yeah. So that's why he's on there. It's not usually a bunch of celebs. It's just comedians. But Christoph Waltz is one of like the ones that doesn't do it. I think Barack Obama was in episode two. Not comparing Obama and Christoph Waltz at all, but it's
they're so similar.
So,
well, you know, the great thing about Christoph Waltz is that Jerry Seinfeld took him to IHOP.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite part of that whole episode.
It is so funny. Yeah. They go to like crazy places and just like there are normal people there eating. And it's just, it's cool. The Howard Stern one is funny because this Howard hates everything basically and tries to interview Jerry on the episode. It was really good. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was excellent. Kramer does an episode and they actually,
Michael Richards. Yep.
And they actually talk about his, infamous incident at the comedy club.
It was heartfelt. I liked that episode for different reasons. You know, it was some real talk there.
Well, because it was so damn funny and so real. Because the funny part was that Michael Richards told Jerry, "Oh, go down this street. I know Sugar Ray Leonard. He lives over there. We'll get him." And like they just go up to some random house, and it's like, "Oh no, it's Jay Moore's house."
It's Jay Moore's house.
But he's like, "Is Sugar here? Sugar!" He's just yelling down the street, and it's just like, "Do you know Sugar?" No. And they go on, but then the heartfelt moment comes in, and it's pretty good. It's good. Damn good show. Easy to watch. Fast watches.
And yeah. I watched the Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner episode this morning over breakfast, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was also a good episode. I just want Jerry to do that, like, every day for the next 10 years.
Well, you know, this is what I was talking about, how he seems to just kind of not let people put him into a certain situation he doesn't want to be in. I feel like he's an entertainer. He likes to work, but he also doesn't want to do something that he doesn't want to do. So he's like, well, if I'm going to make a show, let me just get riding amazing cars and I'll just talk to people about whatever over coffee. I don't want to work too hard. He like wants to make a product, but he doesn't want to bust his ass necessarily.
No, I think like it's a really cool idea. It's simple and he does what he likes to do. He loves to talk about comedy. He does it.
But it's another show about nothing. That's what's great about it.
So I disagree with you how Seinfeld was about nothing. I think Seinfeld was more about like the social awkwardnesses that come up in everyday life, like in how you deal with it or how you're not supposed to deal with it. But I didn't think it was a show about nothing. I think it was just about the social niceties or the social settings. It just like,
I guess you could say it's a show about life, you know, whatever that means,
but like not just life, but like about like things that are expected of you, you know, like when you get invited to a party, do you bring the big salad or, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah, those expectations, you know. And one of my favorite, this is not even anything from a show, but one of my favorite Seinfeld things is that clip that came out not too long ago of him at some awards show being interviewed and some celebrity pops up behind him and says, "Jerry, I love you. Can I have a hug?" And he's just like, "No."
No. So
and she goes, "No, seriously, like, can I have a hug, please?" He's like, "No."
He didn't know who the hell that was.
"Please?" And he goes, "No, thank you." And he like puts the arms out like to like mime pushing her away. "No, thank you."
No.
And then she walks away and they're like, "Oh, that was this celebrity." And he's like, "Oh, okay."
No, so that's my point. Like he likes people who he likes, he admires people. He doesn't give, I think that person was Kesha.
Was Kesha?
Yeah. Kesha, and it's very weird to watch that. Well, it's funny to watch that video, but like Jerry is a like he doesn't have to kowtow or do fake hugs to anybody he doesn't want to. You know, he's Jerry Seinfeld.
I get the vibe that he never did that though. I just get the impression that even when he was just a normal non-celebrity, that he probably still didn't do that kind of stuff. It just seems to be so deeply ingrained in who he is.
It's a damn good, funny video. And if you haven't seen it, it's so great. She comes up and she's like, hey, can I have a hug? And he's like, no. Not all celebrities are created equal. You could tell that by his show, Getting Coffee with Comedians in Cars, that he literally handpicks people he really admires and likes. And somebody like Kesha, absolutely not. So
I think that he didn't even know who she was, though. I think he just thought it was some random person.
Yeah, because when he was being interviewed and she came up, when she walked off, the person interviewing was like, oh, that was Kesha. And he was like, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, great. Bye. And it was just, it's so perfect. It's so great. Screw Kesha. She sucks. Seinfeld's awesome.
I didn't know we'd stepped onto a landmine of Kesha hate here.
She's horrible. Anyway, anywho, besides getting coffee and cars with comedians, have y'all watched that Netflix original animated movie, Godzilla?
I have.
I was gonna until I heard Jeremy's review of it.
I actually enjoyed it. It's very different, but I actually enjoyed it, the story it told, because I haven't seen that really done before.
It's not even a fucking Godzilla movie.
It wasn't really a Godzilla movie, but it was a Godzilla movie with very little Godzilla in it.
There's sort of some Godzilla in the beginning, where you kind of see him in the distance. Humanity runs off with the race of aliens that just showed up, and they're like, oh, we're going to save you. But then they don't actually show them trying to save humanity. They just still show everyone running away from Earth. And and then a third of your show is this a group of humanity, which is this all of humanity, or are there other ships, who fucking knows, drifting through space. And then they're like, well, maybe we should go back. So you just turn around and go back.
Well, it's
like a third of your movie was what the fuck was the point of you doing that?
Well, it's kind of a very, very similar story to Pixar's WALL-E, where instead of trash, it is Godzilla and monsters, and all of Earth or some of the Earth take spaceships and go to outer space to look for different planets to inhabit. They can't find anything after 20 years, so they go back to Earth hoping that Godzilla is destroyed. Well, it turns out that there's other things.
Even when they get back there, there's a Godzilla there, and they figure out a way to kill it, but then it's not Godzilla. Actual Godzilla then just pops up out of the ground and starts fucking shit up. So I'm like, your whole movie was about a Godzilla that was not a Godzilla. It's who gives a shit? And then
he's getting mad.
Why the fuck do I want to watch a Godzilla movie with not Godzilla?
I just assumed Jeremy was raging when he was watching this. Just, where the fuck is Godzilla? God damn it!
No, it was more I'm just sitting here being why the fuck am I watching a spaceship drift through space?
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Yes.
I'm not saying it was great, but I enjoyed it because it was something different. It was definitely better than 1998's Matthew Broderick Godzilla, for sure.
Okay, that's a fucking low bar, though. Let's be realistic. here's what was intriguing about it. Was in this movie, Godzilla is not the hero monster that shows up to fucking save humanity from other monsters. He's old school Godzilla who has come to basically take a dump on humanity for douching the planet. Yep. Right? So he's old. So in that respect, I was okay, I'm down for this. Once they were explaining the premise in the beginning, but man, after fucking 10 minutes, I was this, what are we doing? What's going on here? It's did the fucking people that make this movie even like Godzilla? I don't think they did. And then the fucking, the what, you know, I'm admittedly trying to get into anime, but the motherfucking overacting in this movie was brutal.
I just want to point out that I think that was the most fucks I've ever heard Jeremy use in a rant.
Yeah.
I think the Godzilla movie really made him angry.
Yes,
it is. There's some real, like, deep-seated anger in that.
After Castlevania, when I heard there was going to be a Godzilla movie, I was like, oh, yes, that's going to be so good. And I was mistaken.
His dreams of a good Godzilla anime on Netflix were just completely shattered. I didn't hate it as much as Jeremy. I enjoyed it. Will I watch it again? Probably not. But still enjoyed it for what it was. It was something different. They didn't use the usual things that we've seen many times before of the recent Godzilla stuff. So
yeah, like Godzilla.
Atterbury, you need to watch it.
I don't think I will.
Godzilla is in this movie less than Godzilla was in the Garrett Edwards Godzilla movie.
Because wasn't that Godzilla only on screen for maybe like 16 minutes or maybe less?
Yeah, it's like maybe 20 minutes of fucking screen time.
Yeah, and it's like a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
Very little Godzilla, maybe even less than that. But yeah, it was it's if you're a Godzilla fan and you hear both of us talking about this, I mean, give it a shot. I would say if you don't like anime, you're not going to like it at all. But if you like the anime type stuff, you want to give it a shot and see kind of the whole story. But yeah, if you're looking for like a Godzilla in a Godzilla movie, this is not the place to be. It's not like Kong Skull Island where Kong shows up in the first like 30 seconds and is there through most of the movie. Not like that at all. All right. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I watched The End of the Fucking World. Did y'all watch that yet? That TV series on Netflix?
No.
Nope.
That is a fun show. So if y'all haven't seen The End of the Fucking World, is a new TV show on Netflix, and it's about this a high school boy and a high school girl, and the high school boy is like, he's a serial killer. He hasn't killed yet, but he is definitely like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like, he's insane and wants to kill people. And then at school, this girl, they kind of meet, and she is kind of borderline the same, and it's almost like a very early prequel to Natural Born Killers, Mickey and Mallory. And so these two kids kind of take a road trip, leave home, and like don't come back, and there's killing and all sorts of shit. It's a dark comedy. It's a British dark comedy TV show. So if that's up your alley, I do recommend it, because it's very dark comedy, very fun, very humorous in a very dark way. Does that sound up your alley?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
All right. Another movie on Netflix that just came out. It just premiered at Sundance. And then 2 days later premiered on Netflix. It is a movie that stars Will Forte. And I'm trying to remember what it's called. The whole title is something about... A futile suggestion. What is it called? A futile and stupid gesture. This is a biopic movie starring Will Forte as Doug Kenny, the creator of National Lampoon magazine, who went on to help make Animal House and Caddyshack. And it is about the rise and start of National Lampoon. And it is excellent. There are so many excellent comedians in here. And a lot of them play like Chevy Chase and Ronnie Dangerfield. And they're all excellent at it. Have y'all seen this yet? Have y'all watched this?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to watch.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. Highly, highly recommended. It is so good. And it was just a lot of stuff that because I love National Lampoon, and there's a lot of things I didn't know about it. So, but yeah, Will Forte plays Doug Kenny, and you'll just see just a whole bunch of really cool. One of the standout roles in here was the guy who played Chevy Chase, which was Joel McHale. Joel McHale plays an excellent Chevy Chase. Oh, God.
fantastic. And then throughout the whole movie, you'll see just tons of famous comedians and actors playing people in bit parts that you'll like. But yeah, it's really good. I think if you like Animal House, Caddyshack, or anything like that, you're going to want to watch this. For sure. For sure. Anything else you're watching?
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
I know you had mentioned a little while ago that movie Mom and Dad with Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair.
Yes.
I watched that just a couple nights ago.
Okay, so I have not seen this, but is it as good as the trailer looks?
Yeah. I think the answer to that question is yes, because to me the trailer didn't look incredible. It was pretty much exactly what I wanted it to be. It was fun and gave – it was a good showcase for Nicolas Cage to be a total maniac. And but I will say that the first half of the movie was kind of really low on the best part of the movie, which is Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair being lunatics. But it's kind of setting up the whole, I guess – epidemic that's happening with parents trying to kill their children. So you're seeing a lot of other parents trying to kill their kids and the children themselves trying to get out of school, yada, yada, yada. But it really doesn't become fun until they're home with their own parents, Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair. And at that point, then it becomes really fun until the end of the film.
Hmm. Well, I want to see it. It sounds like The Purge and Nicolas Cage together came together for shit. So I'm very
something
much
something like that. Yeah.
Jeremy, anything else?
I've been the two of the things I've been watching. I've been watching Troll Hunters, the Guillermo del Toro animated show that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And that is really fun. It ended up being, I don't really know what I was getting going into it, but it's awesome. The season's long. It's like 22 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, it's a really fun show. It, you know, it's not just a generic kind of animated cartoon, but you know, if you like a lot of Guillermo del Toro's like kind of design concepts and things like the Hellboy movies, then this is fantastic for that.
Cool. And you also just recently watched the revamp of Stephen King's It.
I did.
And
super fun.
Isn't it like, it's not like so much scary, although there are some terrifying parts in it, but like the camaraderie and relationships with all the kids is so damn good. And they were all so funny. Was that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a little weird to have one of the kids from Stranger Things in there, because there's so much of a Stranger Things kind of vibe to me a little bit in this movie. I almost wish they had got someone else to play that.
Well, I think the only thing that they might have done, which, because the original book, you know, takes place in the 50s. So Pennywise the Clown is a shape-shifting being. So he shapeshifts into, like, stuff from the 30s, such as, like, the werewolf man and Dracula and Swamp Creature and all that stuff. But here, I think they put it into the 80s to kind of like have a, you know, I guess a better feel to connect with audiences today. So they put it in the 80s and Stranger Things and it being in the 80s. I think, yeah, there is that similarity. But I think that actor, Finn Wolfhard, who plays Richie Tozer in the film, is just so perfect because it's very different roles, because in It, he is like a wisecracking jackass, and Stranger Things, he's kind of like the serious guy, kind of. But I don't know.
No, I get it. I know why they did it. I'm just saying I wish they hadn't done it.
Okay. But other than that, you still liked it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought Skarsgård did a great job as Pennywise.
He's awesome, oh, yeah, man.
He was fantastic.
He was.
Because I watched him in that, and then we watched Atomic Blonde right after it, and he was in both of those.
Okay, so Atomic Blonde, that scene.
It's a good jump going from Hemlock Grove to those things.
Yeah, seriously. Did you like Atomic Blonde?
I did.
Did you like that uncut fight scene that has no camera cuts or made to look?
It's pretty
like
good, man. Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it. It's like John Wick and James Bond and Born Identity all mixed into one with Charlize Theron.
funny, man, when you watch like those big uncut fight scenes, and it's like you think about how hard Daredevil popularized that first season when he had that fight scene going down the hall to rescue the kidnapped kid.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think. Yeah, those were damn good. I know, because one of the first times I ever saw that was in the original Korean film Old Boy.
Yeah.
Where you see him just go down the hall with a hammer. And then you kind of see something similar in The Raid 1, which was a Thai movie, but not a lot of people saw that. But I think you're right. Daredevil probably more mainstream to get people like, yeah, wow, it's an uncut fight scene.
Yeah, I didn't think Daredevil created it, but I think I would give Daredevil credit for popularizing it. Because, man, as soon as they did that, it's like that was popping up everywhere. And even Marvel was putting it into other stuff. Like they were putting it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all kinds of cool stuff. It's like it popped up in Game of Thrones even.
Yeah, it popped up in Game of Thrones because I remember that HBO show True Detective did that in the first season when they had like an 8 or 9 minute long action scene through a neighborhood, which was really cool. Oh, yeah, those were good. I'm glad you liked both those movies. Was there any other movies that you watched that you got recently?
Not yet. The only other thing I've been watching is the Superman animated series is on Amazon. And they've got the first three seasons, and it's so good. It kind of doesn't really get attention because everybody just kind of always freaks out over the original Batman animated series. But the Superman one is so awesome, and it's got the first three seasons on there. It's been great.
Cool. I'm glad. I'm going to talk a little bit about Blu-rays for a second. The Lego Ninjago movie is out on Blu-ray and 4K. I actually enjoy the Lego Ninjago movie. It's pretty damn funny. It's kind of like a Power Rangers type of story with, you know, kind of like teenagers who are like go to school, but then are at least hardcore ninjas that fight like crazy evil guys. And it was damn funny. Damn good cast, too. I liked it. So that's out as well. Wonder is coming out. If you haven't seen Wonder, it's about the little boy with a disfigured face who's a very sweet movie. Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts is in it. Feel good movie. Tons of Star Wars references in it. Even Star Wars characters show up in the movie, which is crazy and cool at the same time. I'm trying to think of what else Blu-ray wise is coming out. Oh, Drag Me to Hell. Y'all remember that movie, Drag Me to Hell, from 2009?
I love that movie. It's like the only Sam Raimi film I really enjoy.
Okay, so that was released on Blu-ray, you know, a few months after it came out in theaters, but Scream Factory just released it in a collector's edition, and it's on two discs. One was for the unrated cut, one's for the director's cut. It's a new HD presentation. It's got great surround sound as well, but there's definitely new extras on it, all brand new for this release, interviews with the actors who talk about it, and I gotta say that from that movie, you know, I love Justin Long. I like Alison Lohman. But the shining star of that movie was definitely the old gypsy woman who is scary as hell. And in real life, she is like this sweet, like elderly woman who could be your grandmother who's a stage actress. But in these new interviews, she kind of like pulls on the character and does impressions of it. And it's just so great to see and so funny. But get those for sure. Let's move on to video games. Any video games that we're playing or y'all are playing or looking forward to? Or I know, Jonathan, every 10 minutes you're calling me and like, when is this update for Star Wars Battlefront 2 come out? And do you have any theories or what is going to be included on that?
Oh, there's so many theories floating around. But it really does seem like the most likely case scenario is going to be a Obi-Wan Kenobi General Grievous thing that they're doing.
You what? Oh, sorry.
This motherfucker asks me questions and doesn't listen.
I'm sorry. Something.
That's good interviewing.
I'm sorry.
So, yes, I think that we're going to get General Grievous and Obi-Wan Kenobi up next. But it could be anything, honestly.
So just as heroes.
I feel like
right?
every day there's new leaks saying, it's going to be this. No, it's going to be this. No, it's going to be this.
I'm assuming that means Clone Wars Kenobi.
Yes.
Well, I mean, do you think they would only put out two? They wouldn't put out like a pack of three or four people? as far as heroes go.
You'll probably do one villain and one hero.
So you're thinking...
I have a feeling that'll be the release model.
So not Mace Windu. We don't see Samuel Jackson this patch yet.
Not this one, but I would be very surprised if they don't put him out at some point.
Okay, so Grievous and Clone Wars Kenobi. So with those in mind, what new maps will we have?
Well, I think everybody wants to see a battle above Coruscant space battle. And which is, you know, the big space battle from the beginning of Revenge of the Sith.
That's the one where Kenobi and the older Anakin are flying through the city?
Exactly.
Okay.
Something like that. Well,
they're flying through the ships.
Yeah, they're flying through the ships. The city is the one where they're in, like, the speeders above Coruscant in the second movie.
That's Attack of the Clones.
Okay. So is it?
Yeah, this is the one that's like a big space battle happening above, like in the atmosphere or out of the atmosphere of Coruscant.
In orbit.
Okay, in orbit. Because I was wondering if they're going to do it down in the city, if there will be a special card or button where you could eject from your seat and jump into another plane that's about to explode, like Anakin does.
I don't think they'll do that, but so we're probably going to get, you know, I think we might get a Jedi Temple map that everybody would love to see that.
Oh, I would love that.
But I have a feeling that if they're doing Grievous and Kenobi in this, we'll probably get an Utapau map with it.
Yeah.
That seems most likely to me. But you know what? Everyone is also, it seems like inevitable that we're going to get a Geonosis map. That just seems like a perfect setting for this game.
Which one's that?
That was in Attack of the Clones, where like all the clones are marching towards that arena, basically, where the Jedi are having the big battle.
And yet they're fighting the Geonosian bugs. But okay. What would be interesting is if they do that, then do you have playable Geonosian characters?
I wouldn't be surprised if they put out a special, like, you know, they have the N1 Starfighter available just when you're playing on Naboo. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a special Geonosian reinforcement for that.
Huh. You don't think there will be a Dagobah system map or anything like that?
Well, I would be surprised if they didn't do it at any point.
Okay, but not this update.
It seems unlikely that would be the first thing they would do.
Do you think they'll do something with, like, grenades or turrets or guns? Like, pump them up or...
I don't know, man. They've said that so in March we're getting a total revamping of the progression system. I don't know what that means. Nobody really knows what that means yet. They could be changing it. I mean, just like the effects of, you know, when you how expensive the cars are, how much money you earn. But I have a feeling that if they really want to completely revamp it, like they've said they're going to, it's going to have to be pretty dramatic.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, because you get points for playing the game, but then you get like battle points, which never. You know, you might be able to get like 8,000 points when you play, but battle points, you might get, you know, 800 or 500. So I wonder how that adds up, you know.
We know how it adds up right now, but I have a feeling that it's going to be a pretty significant change to the system. Because they've said that it's going to, I mean, they've been working on it pretty much since it came out, once they realized that they're going to have to remove the loot crates. Because the problem is the existing progression system is totally based around the loot crates.
Right.
And once they stopped doing that, it was not a good system anymore. So now they're having to go around that entirely.
I have a question. So it's been a while since we've been on the air. How do you two think I have improved in my Star Wars Battlefront 2 plane? Since the last time we've been on the air.
Have you?
I don't know. Have I? I feel like I have.
I would say that this is the game that you've been the most useful teammate in of all the games I've played with you.
Yeah, I'll concur with that.
And how so? And answer the question. Like, have I improved since from 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
I would say so. When we first started playing, I don't think that you were really following the concept of what we were trying to do in the maps. But now you do seem to be able to follow the objectives, and that's what really matters. So, yes, I would say that definitely you have gotten better.
Oh, well, thank you. And Jeremy, do you agree? Or
I agree. You are functional, that's for sure.
I'm functional. I serve as the bait, basically. I try to heal people, put a turret down here and there, but I get killed easily.
Bait/meat shield.
Meat shield, yeah. it's a fun game still. And yeah, I'm having fun playing it. I've played a little bit of Overwatch here and there, but I've really just been playing Battlefront. As far as other video games, this one is, I guess you'd call it a video game. It is on your app store on your mobile device. It is called HQ Trivia. If you don't know HQ Trivia yet, you should download HQ Trivia and play along. It is a live trivia game every day and night, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central Times. It is live trivia. There is a host, and you can win real cash money. It's free to play. Most of the cash prizes are $2,500, and it goes all the way up to $15,000. Super fun. I know, Atterbury, you downloaded. Have you played yet?
I haven't played yet. I can't seem to get my schedule worked out so I can get on there exactly the time I need to get on there.
Well, it's super fun, HQ Trivia. I've been playing as much as I can. I've only gotten, I think, to question 8 now before I lose out, before question 12. But it's super fun, and you know, they range from all trivia, movies, history, just at anything, really. And they get there. Some are easy, some are hard. But yeah, it's a really good game. Y'all should check it out, HQ Trivia. Anything else y'all are playing at the moment besides Star Wars?
Well, I'm playing some Call of Duty World War II quite a bit still.
Yeah, that's right. You are.
And loving that. But you know what? As I've just said before we actually started this show, what I'm really looking forward to is Sea of Thieves.
Yes, yeah, Sea of Thieves. So I have a good friend. You might have heard him on the Opposite Attract podcast on this channel, Opposite Attract, Adrian Chale. He got the beta for this, and he seems to love it. So what about the Sea of Thieves is so good?
Well, I don't know what's so good about it because I haven't played it yet, but what looks good about it is I have a feeling that it's going to be a really, really fun multiplayer experience, because when you're doing this, you have to, like, set up a crew.
Yeah.
So you can have different ships that are different sizes, meaning some of them, if you get a really, you can have like a one person ship where it doesn't have much offensive capabilities or defensive capabilities, but you can do it all by yourself. Or you might need a two person ship or a four person ship, which is a really big ship that needs people to man the sails and man cannons and all of that stuff. But those are the most powerful ones. And so if you have that big ship, you can take on other players' ships and just take their stuff. You can blow them out of the water, because as you're sailing around this world, which is a gigantic open world ocean with islands and that kind of stuff, you can just full on assault other players when they're in the water and take their stuff.
Yeah.
Which sounds like awesome. So much fun. And you know, there's different types of missions that you go on. Basically, you have missions where you run cargo. So you load your cargo, your ship up with this cargo, and you have to get it from point A to point B without being kind of interrupted by pirates or other players, things like that. Or you can do like battle missions where you have to go and kill all the skeletons on this island, something along those lines. Or you have treasure hunting missions as well, where you have to go to find this island, get all the treasure chests off of it, and then return them. So I think it sounds like it's just a really fun multiplayer experience that's going to be a little bit different than this kind of stuff we've played so far.
Okay. All right. I like it.
And I like that it's got a kind of an MMO type vibe to it, where there's, you know, persistently going to be other players, other actual players just in the world with you. And you have to be on guard because you never know when people are just going to attack you. So you have to, if you have that one of those big ships, you literally have to say, you know, you have to have kind of somebody acting on your crew as captain, because that captain, to have your ship functioning properly, you have to have one person giving orders to the other people, basically. Like, hey, you, get on the cannon. Hey, you, drop the topsail. Hey, you, stay on the lookout and make sure that we don't have any other ships coming up on us.
Well, that sounds fun. I'll let you play that and let us know, I guess. When's it come out? It.
I think it comes out either at the end of February or the beginning of March, something like that.
All right. We'll figure it.
Is it going to be like where you pay $60 for the game, or is it like one of the free to play MMOs that's got transactions? How's it?
No, I believe it's a one time fee of $60 standard price.
Cool.
That's not bad.
There'll probably be DLC, something along those lines, but it's just going to be like, you know, buying Destiny or anything like that.
All right. Well, cool. Video games. All right. Let's move on to this TV reboot thing that's happening. Over the past week, three TV shows are being rebooted. They are Charmed, Murphy Brown, and The Greatest American Hero. Murphy Brown, I do believe, will bring back its main actress to the show, but they will be rebooting it, I guess. Charmed will be rebooted. And then The Greatest American Hero, one of the best theme songs ever, will be rebooted with a
I believe it's Real lead. American Hero.
What did I say?
Greatest.
It's not Greatest American Hero?
No, sing Real American Hero and then sing Greatest American Hero and see what sounds better.
I guess you're right.
You have to sing it. I sing it, Brian. I've never heard this theme song.
Oh, you know it. Is it? Oh, yeah. Is it a Real American Hero? Are you sure? Or is it Greatest American Hero? Oh my God, I don't know.
Well, try singing it for us, Brian.
While you're looking that up, I want to say I read somewhere that they're going to remake Magnum also.
Oh, Magnum P.I. No, it is The Greatest American Hero, American comedy series, The Greatest American Hero. Not the real one. It is The Greatest American Hero that was on for only three seasons. I don't know. You had me.
Sing me this fucking theme song. I still don't know what we're talking about.
I'm trying to play it for you.
I don't want you to play it for me. That's going to sound like crap for everyone in the audience. I want you to sing it for me.
I'm not going to sing it for you. believe it or not, I'm walking on air. You know?
Okay, I've heard that.
I never thought I could feel so free, flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? That's The Greatest American Hero. The Real American... No, yeah, Greatest American Hero. I don't know. Is there a Real American Hero?
I thought there was.
Greatest American Hero. But they're remaking that with a female lead instead of its main guy, William Catt. So, and Robert Culp. Be female-centric. But... well, I guess that all these reboots, I don't think any of these reboots need to happen because, oh, well, Murphy Brown is awesome, but I don't need a reboot of it. But in the age of reboots, what TV show really does need to be rebooted for present day? Do y'all have any suggestions?
Well, you know, I feel like the thing that's really missing, the thing that's usually missing in our TV show lineup is good horror TV shows.
I thought he was going to say Friends.
No. I do not want Friends rebooted. If we're doing a continuation of Friends, then yes, that would be number one on my list.
Ugh, gross.
If it was the original cast
and
their same characters, yes, give me that 1,000,000%.
I'm out.
But if we're talking reboots with new character, new actors and stuff, then I mean, it's kind of hard to say Twilight Zone because Black Mirror is so much like Twilight Zone for modern day.
Well, and also, unfortunately, Jordan Peele. Well, that's great that Jordan Peele from Get Out. Jordan Peele is rebooting the Twilight Zone, but it will only be available on that horrible fucking CBS app. You have to pay for it in addition to your cable. Just like the new Star Trek series, it's only on that CBS app, which you have to pay monthly for, and you can't get it anywhere else.
Not either.
Yeah, it's terrible. But yeah.
I hope it crashes and burns because that pisses me off.
Me too. I hope the same thing.
Aside from like Twilight Zone, I would love to see. You know, I have great memories of watching shows like Are You Afraid of the Dark when I was a kid, or Tales from the Crypt, stuff like that. So I'd love to see that kind of stuff make a resurgence. Really, I just want to see good, scary TV shows.
So Tales from the Crypt is coming back. It's going to be a reboot, and M. Night Shyamalan is behind it. He's going to be the big producer on all of them. So,
well, that's awesome. Count me in.
I'm in.
That sounds fun, actually.
Yes, I'm definitely in on that. as well as Who's Afraid of the Dark, or Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I know that show, like Goosebumps, was kind of made for like a younger audience, but I had such great memories watching that stuff. I loved it.
No, me too. I enjoyed it as well. Definitely, definitely good. What about you, Jeremy?
I don't know, man. I really couldn't think of any show that I thought needed to be rebooted. I'm a little more into, you know, the continuation stuff. You know, to me, that for most sitcoms, if we're kind of looking, especially in a little bit of that area, you know, if you're going to do a continuation of like Will and Grace, that's going to be way funnier than trying to reboot it and trying to find actors that have, you know, chemistry. Honestly, in the same thing for Friends, you know, it's like you could reboot Friends and you'd be lucky if it made it a fucking season before it got canceled.
So
you know?
True.
Even if you tried to make it a modern premise, it wouldn't fucking work. You know, it's like
they kind of did reboot it when they made How I Met Your Mother. That was kind of like what I would call a rebooting of Friends, and that worked great. But it wasn't a rebooting. That's the thing. It's like with all these shows, pretty much, there's really no. If you're not going to do a continuation, just make an entirely new show.
Yeah. Okay.
Call it something different, even if it's very similar. Just call it something else. That way, people won't be comparing the two.
All right. I have three different suggestions. One of them is Carnival. Carnival ended way too early on HBO. It was only on for, I think, 2 seasons. They could totally reboot it and just start all over again because it's been so long. But I would love to see a Carnival resurgence. That was an awesome show. Another one that I think they could definitely redo, I don't think the actors were particularly any good in this show, so you can have it maybe do not with a laugh track, but kind of something similar to like I don't know, without a laugh track, single camera would be Alf. Alf, I think, would be an awesome reboot because I've been watching old reruns of that on I think Hulu or Netflix or something, and shit, Alf is hilarious. That dude was so funny, and I feel like in this day and time, he would just kill it if they, you know, did it right as a reboot. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think we need an Alf reboot.
No, yes, we do need an Alf. We do need an Alf reboot. And the other one, for sure, Firefly, was only on for 1 season. Yes, all those actors are amazing, but
I don't think we want a reboot of that,
man.
I don't.
Everyone would be angry if you rebooted that show.
Yeah, give us a continuation, everyone would be happy. But a reboot, that's just going to be fury.
You think
nerd fury? Oh yeah, man. Those fans are like, the fans are too diehard about that stuff. You can't just wipe it clean.
Hmm. Okay.
Although I did think of another one I want rebooted, and it's a recent show, but I would like a reboot of Penny Dreadful, please.
3 seasons wasn't enough?
No, 3 seasons was too much because it was a great premise, great ideas, but horribly executed.
Right.
I could see a reboot of that completely redone with good directors, good writers, and it could have been so great, but it was such a shit instead. I'm still angry about that show.
You're still angry? Jesus. I remember. I think
it has so much potential.
I think that show, kind of some of our very early first episodes of this podcast, we talked about that show quite a bit because it was still on.
I believe we did. Yeah.
So, yes, I guess those are some of the reboots. I'm dead set on Alf coming back, seriously, because, I mean, if you do it not like a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia type of thing, but I really think that would work. Like, you don't have to have the laugh track. You don't have to have, like, that cheesy sitcom thing with it. But I think it would be damn funny. And, like, the actors are all replaceable for sure. It would be amazing. I mean, imagine Steve Guttenberg as the dad and Alf as the alien family member. Fantastic.
Well, of course Alf would have to be the alien family member. It's fucking Alf.
Imagine if Alf played Alf.
Alf played Alf. You got me there. All right. Any other TV shows before we move on to our last subject?
No, sir.
All right. We are recasting Kindergarten Cop. If you are not familiar with Kindergarten Cop, Kindergarten Cop is an action comedy that came out back in 1990. Actually, it was the Christmas holidays of 1990. And it starred Arnold Schwarzenegger as you've never seen him before. He was a cop going undercover as a kindergarten teacher. He can be ruthless and kill any of the bad guys, but he can't handle, you know, a group of five-year-olds. The movie cost $15 million back in 1990 and made over $200 million, proving that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a damn fine comedic actor. It's been a long time. So they made a sequel very recently, which was, I think, in 2015, which had Dolph Lundgren play the cop, basically, Kindergarten Cop 2. And it came out in 2016, made in 2015, came out in 2016. So in this recast of Kindergarten Cop, you cannot use Dolph Lundgren and you cannot use The Rock, because I know everybody wants to use The Rock, because why? It would be the perfect
role. It just seemed like the obvious choice.
Yeah, so we're not doing that. Those are the two people you cannot use. You cannot use The Rock, you cannot use Dolph Lundgren.
Well, I know we didn't really clarify this, but I figured we'd be casting Kimball, you know, Schwarzenegger's character, his partner, the mother.
Yes.
And the villain.
Yeah, Crisp. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Those are the main characters, I suppose.
Correct. So, Mr. Atterbury, I would love to hear who you put down.
There was really only one option. If I couldn't use Dwayne Johnson for John Kimball, I would like to see John Cena play him.
Going WWE because with it.
It's been shown that Cena is very funny and he can handle the comedic acting. So I would really think that he'd be a perfect actor for that role. And again, you know, he seems like a funny, talented guy. And so, you know, we need someone like him in the movies again. We really do. Somebody that can be a believable action hero and also has comedic talent.
Okay, I like it.
Because what was that movie that he was in with that female comedian?
Trainwreck?
Yes, that one. He was pretty damn funny in that movie.
He was good in that movie.
So for his partner, his female partner, I'd like to see Isla Fisher portray his partner.
Okay, that was originally played by Pamela Reed, and her name is Phoebe. And I definitely remember that role. So Isla Fisher. All right. I like it.
She's very funny. She's also, you know, an entertaining actress, so I'd like to see her. Now, for the mother of the child in this movie, I would like to see Natalie Portman.
All right. Originally played by Penelope Ann Miller.
I think Portman would be a solid role for that, or solid choice for that role. And lastly, but not least, for the villain, what's his first name? Last name Crisp?
No, his first name is Crisp. He's just known as Crisp. Or I guess his name is Crisp. But
I thought his last name was Crisp.
Yeah, his real name is Richard Tyson, the actor.
That was the actor's name?
Yes.
Well, so as Crisp, I think you mentioned him just earlier in the episode, Walton Goggins would be a good choice.
Yes, Walton Goggins.
He's one of my favorite actors now, and he's eccentric. And I think that, you know, I don't think I've seen him play like a really like a scary type villain. So I would like to see him just be kind of a nutcase as a villain.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like this casting. I definitely like John Cena because I like John Cena. Who doesn't? All right. I get it. I see what you're doing here. Jeremy, what you got?
All right. I actually only redid Arnold and Crisp. And for the Arnold role, I also went somewhat with a wrestler. I went with Dave Bautista.
Also a good choice. He could
do the kind of like, you know, not quite as goofy, but the very like serious, you know, almost no real sense of humor Drax type of thing with it. And that would go great against, you know, like the kids fucking with him. And then for Crisp, I was going to go with Guy Davis.
Who's Guy Davis?
He was in like Iron Man 3. He was the bad guy in Iron Man 3, and he was in the Time Machine remake.
Okay.
He's been in a couple other things, but those are the only kind of like bigger things I can think of right off the top of my head.
All right. All right. I like that. I like that. I'm in for that. All right. I guess I'll go. I guess for the mother, Joyce, I am going to go with, what's her name? Jennifer Garner. Cause I like her in the mother roles, for Phoebe,
the partner.
I'm actually going to go with not a woman, but I'm going with a male. I am going to go with Jonah Hill.
So Jonah Hill was originally supposed to be the kindergarten teacher.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, yes.
Well, that's the plot of the movie.
Yes, 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 yes. He was originally supposed to be the kindergarten teacher. I forgot about that. But yes, yes, Jonah Hill. As for Crisp, the very bad guy, I am going with Christian Bale. I want him to be a very American Psycho type of person for that role.
Right on. I can see that. That'd
and
be good.
For Detective John Kimball, I went with Idris Elba. Because that would be amazing. Idris Elba would be.
That awesome. Would be. I like that choice. That's a good one. A good pick.
Idris Elba, because he's a badass, a big guy, and it would just be funny to kind of see him like just a cold-hearted, you know, brutal cop guy who takes down the bad guys, and he just can't handle five-year-olds. I think it would be hilarious. And I think him and Jonah Hill would be so funny together.
Such a weird combination.
I think it would be great. I think it would be hilarious. And so, I think that would be fun. So I really like this John Cena and Batista thing. I actually almost went with Stone Cold Steve Austin for John Kimball, but I didn't.
That's hard to picture.
Well, because you could see he's like, he's, you know, persona-wise, he's like, yeah, let me tell you something, let me tell you, give me a hell yeah. And then just that kind of persona with the kindergarten teacher would be hilarious. It's kind of like the Hulk Hogan character doing Mr. Nanny, or in Triple H did like the same thing in another movie, both terrible, or Suburban Commando or whatever. But yeah.
Mr. Nanny was a great film. You watch your mouth.
You would like Mr. Nanny. And we didn't pick The Rock or Kevin Hart. It's amazing. So yeah, but I think Jonah Hill and Idris Elba would just have some hilarious dialogue with one another. I really think that.
But really, the movie that needs to be made is a Kindergarten Cop reboot with Kevin Hart as the partner and Dwayne Johnson as John Kimball. That's really the movie that we need.
Which would be funny, because it would just be hilarious that Kevin Hart just gets the flu and can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can see that he was supposed to be the kindergarten teacher originally because he's small and the children aren't intimidated by him. He's very much like their size.
Yeah. Well, yeah, The Rock and Kevin Hart. It screams that remake, really.
I'm telling you, that's the movie that's why we were forbidden to use The Rock, because it was too perfect of a choice. It was too obvious.
And we all would have just picked the same fucking thing anyway.
That's true.
Exactly.
Well, damn.
Because it's so obviously perfect.
Well, any lasting thoughts on this wonderful mediocrity podcast?
I think my last thought's going to be, why did you pronounce it like that?
I'll leave that for the next
mediocrity.
What is it? Is it not mediocrity?
Well, it's mediocrity.
Mediocrity.
Critty.
What did I say?
Curty.
Oh.
Mediocrity. Mediocrity.
Mediocrity. Is it a soft J?
Yes.
Yucky. Well, we love you. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're trying like hell to get on Spotify. No luck yet. But yeah, we'll have more episodes of Mediocrity. Find us and subscribe. We love you, and we'll see you next week with more Mediocrity. Critty. Curdy.
Mediocrity.